Nice, Moretti. I almost got one too, but I
Ah,
also like the Ignusa
oh, yeah.
from
That's
Sardinia. From
they're from
Sardegna.
from Sardegna.
Yes, exactly. Yes, if
Not
that's okay, yeah.
That's where we're going on holiday in October.
Very nice. Getting some summer. Cheers,
Cheers,
man.
Matu. This is a
Welcome to episode number 56 of our podcast, Up on Foil, where we talk all about foiling. And today, this episode is with Andy Meinberg. He's the owner of foilever.ch, which is a foil shop. He's a code foils dealer, not exclusively, but you distribute code foils. We're going to talk about that. You're a wake foiler, and you've been a 5 times world champion and 8 times European champion in wakeboarding, which is super exciting. A flatwater pumper, flatwater squat lover, super exciting. I, for myself, I'm a pumper as well, not as good as you are. And I've been getting into wake foiling a little bit, and maybe today I can learn a little, a couple of things from you. Looking very much forward to
Hopefully.
talk to you. Thank you very much, Andy, for taking your time. Is there anything you want to add right away? Something I forgot to mention that might be interesting or important so people know you a little bit better and your backstory?
I mean, what can we add? My background is was always water, like, or standing sideways. That's actually my background. Everything, skating, surfing, snowboarding, you name it. Like, really everything. And I did a lot of wake foiling. Just, I think it's the best thing, the easiest thing to learn. And it helped me a lot for pumping. The beginning, and also when I started tow-in, like prone foiling, and so on, and so on. Also wake, not wake foiling, wing foiling. I think it's a great great way to get into like the foiling sport.
All right, it's definitely easier than starting from a dock. Just Andy, a heads up, if you see me wobbling around, I'm standing on a balance board, also sideways, because Indiana skateboards send me these
Cool.
balance boards and I sit too much all day. So it's good for me to get a little bit of standing, a little bit of exercise while doing that podcast. So I'm not feeling dizzy from the beer or anything. It's just I'm on the balance board. Are you, if you say standing sideways, are you regular or goofy footed? Or do you even have a favorite side?
First, I have to add something. If I'm start wobbling, it's about the beer. Sorry about that. Sorry, I missed the question.
Are you regular or goofy, or do you even have a bad side?
My better side is the right foot forward, but on the wakeboard, we're standing like pretty much the same. So dock stands 15 degrees. So I'm quite used to ride both ways. So
Very
that helps a
nice.
lot.
That is also, I think it's super important as well, because last summer I pumped quite a lot and I cannot pump switch. So I think for my back, it's not been good. I should do it the other way around. How do you see that?
That helps. I started. Can't tell. I mean, I started, I think, beginning of this year, riding switch. It
Really?
was so difficult for me in the beginning, especially to switch. And then my goal was, I have friends with boats, so I could start behind the boat and then to get used to it, like riding switch first and then starting to pump on the rope. That helped me a lot, actually. It's quite, but for your back, just for the question, for your back, I think it's a good thing because, yeah, if you pump always same way and you feel your back pain, I think it's a good thing, yeah. Could help.
All right. So we met this spring in Zugi organized Code Demo Day. So people were able to test these amazing foils and the mass as well in Zug and in Bern. And it was the first time we met. It was super cool at the Männerbody. Was it there where foiling started for you, or did you start wing foiling or other foiling somewhere else?
Actually, it started on the Lake of Zug behind the boat. My first tries were behind the boat many, many moons ago. And then I started like the first pump sessions I did with a friend of mine at the in what was it Wallensee, not far from here. And but I, yeah, it's Zug, it's Männerbody Zug, where everything started almost 5 years ago.
And it started behind the boat then. Were you going there with someone who already knew how to foil, or did you, with some friends, bought a foil and just went like, we saw that somewhere, we can do that too? Or how did that start the
Yeah,
foiling journey for you?
that was pretty fun because I used to be a wakeboarder, so I said, ah, come on, this is not hard to learn, blah blah blah. And then we just bought a foil. It was an old like really old slingshot, like super heavy, everything aluminum with a big board. And I didn't manage like first time. It was really hard. I had too much weight on my back foot, and I launched the board like went 2 meters up. It was really bad. And then no one knew how to manage, how to start, how to drive the boat, like the best speed you need, blah blah blah. So yeah, learning by doing. So we had a few hours to get started, but once we were on the board first, and then managed also to get a bit more, yeah, to get with the speed of the boat to get a bit more lift, then it yeah went like pretty fast. But the foil was yeah hard to learn. Super small foil. We had to run like 22, 23 kilometers per hour, and that's super fast. I mean, we ride today, we're at 19, 19.3. So yeah, the beginning was hard.
Do you still own that foil?
Actually, the foil is still around. We sold it to a friend and it's still there. So if you want to have a picture of it, I can give it to you.
I'm
I
more
will find it.
interested if you could still fo or if you would still foil that, if you would still enjoy that.
I don't know if I would enjoy it if I could pump it, maybe, but I'm sure I could still fly with it. Yeah,
All
I'm
right,
sure.
that's so cool. But how many people were there? Imagine you just being guys there. Is that correct, or is that an unfair assumption? All right,
We
so
were three guys. Everyone like super motivated, and everybody knew it better than the other one, how to do it, blah blah blah. It was super fun, and we fell so many times. We were protected everywhere, helmets, we had knee pads on. We really didn't know how. And but that was like not only 5 years ago, that's almost 10 years ago actually.
Wow. So you
Yeah,
must have been
first
one of
time.
the first foilers on Swiss lakes, at least.
I don't know. I can't tell, but
I
one of the first,
imagine
I guess.
like three guys like that on a boat and everyone trying to like beat the other somehow. Was that like a competitive thing as well?
The beginning, no, we were all competitive, that's right. But at the beginning, it was just like, how can I get on this board without like launch it to the moon? It was so hard. Like we came from surfing, from wakeboarding, and if you get up on a wakeboard first, you're on two legs and you start sideways. But then when you start going normal, like straight, then you put more weight on your back foot, and that's so much weight, and we were used to that. So we put all the weight back and then woo, flew up, and yeah.
But still, your achievements, like your experiences being world champion and European champion and whatnot, that must have helped you a lot. Or was that like you said, no, you did it actually wrong because you were so used to riding differently?
No, actually, it helped a lot because I mean, I knew the boat, everything around the boat. I could drive the boat. Only the thing you're on the leash or on the handle on the line, that helps so much when you wakeboard or wake surf. That's something you don't have to think about it. You're used to it, so you just take it, keep it in your hand, and go. But for beginners, they're not used to have this rope and everything. It's quite hard. So I think it helps a lot if you have this background. And I'm happy to have this background. So everything went easy, and I could stand up. Like today, it's yeah, Super easy to get up.
I have no idea, actually. Like wake boarding world champion. Is it like freestyle? Is it slalom? Mm. What is it? Or are they combined?
It's pure freestyle. Yeah, pure freestyle. Yeah, you just do what you want. Okay. I named it more free ride because I changed all the time my run. So mostly during my run, and the guys who were a bit more into, I don't know, I can't tell. I just did it. It came just from inside, and sometimes I changed it. I didn't feel well with the trick, and then I went out and did another trick. All just right. To, I don't know, it was more free riding, and that made, yeah, that's the fun part of it.
That is so cool. Mm-hmm. I've, like, just last Sunday, I had my second go on wake foiling, and maybe you can help me out here, because for me getting up was not that difficult. Mm-hmm. But then I'm used to, sometimes I went wake thieving, so I'm just more in the back, just cruising. Mm-hmm. Trying to match the speed, maybe a little curve but no carve and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So maybe you can like just tell me and our listeners who are just starting wake foiling what the difficulties are, what kind of gear they should take. Should they use straps or not? Maybe you have some advice for us.
Yeah, I mean, to start off, if you're on the foil the first time on a wake foil, straps are not that bad, so it's much easier to get up. But once you're on the board and you're strapped in, yeah, you don't launch only the board, you're launching yourself too. So for me, the best advice is take a big board, like not a huge volume board, but more surface. A bigger board, a smaller foil. To start off with the bigger foil, you got even more lift, and that makes it harder. So start up with a smaller foil, I would say medium to low aspect foil, not the high aspect. And yeah, small foil means I would start 1300 and less. We start with our beginners, we start at 980 to 1300, something there in between. Yeah. And that helps a lot. So, and use also like bigger fuselage, so you have more stability, and the foil doesn't go up too fast, even if you put more weight on your back foot. So the gear is important, very important. But once you feel the gear is right, then it's important to have the right driver. So if you have let's say a water ski driver or a guy who's used to pull water skier, it's not going to work. So you have to be super, super slow and careful. You don't need that much speed. You can start with 5 kilometers and you're almost flying.
Really?
Yeah. So just tell to the driver, but because that's the important thing. Tell to the driver, hey, go slow, progressive. And then it works.
Okay. Okay.
The gear part, yeah.
All right, that makes a lot of sense. When I was out there last Sunday, I got pulled. So I got up on foil, and there was this guy in the back of the boat, and he just like a fisherman, like pulled me in and like tried to adjust my speed. And I thought that was super helpful. Is that something that you do with beginners as well?
Sometimes, yeah. If we're always talking about the sweet spot. So if you're in a wave or in the wake, we call it, behind the boat, then you have to find the right spot to stay. So you don't move forward, you don't move backwards. And that's the sweet spot. And if you're on that sweet spot, so there, that it helps if you maybe the rope is too long. So I pull him like 1-2 meters closer to the sweet spot, because I know where the sweet spot is. And I try to keep him there. And once he's on that spot, he just let go the rope. And then we're trying to can ride exactly on that spot, to stay on that spot. That's a good exercise.
Then again, the speed is super important. I remember the first time when I got up, I like made the curve too early to go straight behind the boat, and I needed to go more out to get more speed. What can you tell us about that? And also maybe starting technique. The last time the guy said, hold your board on the rail that looks out of the water and the handle with one hand, and with the other hand, you're trying to like align yourself and like be in the right position. How do you teach beginners? How should they behave in the water?
Yeah, that's not that easy, because some guys are more flexible than others. So with the flexible guys, you can do it exactly how you said before. So you hold the board with one hand, one foot is already on the board, and the handle on the hand on the handle, yeah. And then with your rear hand you can balance. That's okay. That's a good thing for flexible guys. Okay. But if you're less flexible, then I prefer to have a board with less volume, and you just put your feet on the board, both feet on the board. Yeah, if you have less volume, it works. So the boat pulls you just a little bit, and then you flip the board with the foil.
It. Okay.
It catches, yeah.
Okay.
It's not easy, but with most of the guys which are not that flexible, it works. Or what you can do, you keep, if he can't get up, I go back, I do a step back and go on a huge board, let's say a wing foil board, 120 liters, and then they can already be on their knees or already stand up if their balance is good, and then just go slow. Pull it slow, and so, and then it starts flying.
All right. So, but then also we moving outwards.
Careful. Prefer. We have two things. Or we use a shorter rope. Let's talk about like 6 to 8 meters. So that's the first wake, the first wave. Yeah. Or you have a longer rope, like 20 meters, and you're starting from the middle. Okay. Because if you start, the board is sideways. If you start. And then once the boat starts pulling, the board goes straight. And then what I recognize, people start going or the other direction or too much outside. And then if they go outside, they just get too much speed. And then, then the foil launches. That's then that it starts getting funny. But I think it's hard to say it's like that, because everybody who tries is different. So you have to adapt all the time. Sometimes I have to do one step back or two step back and start from the beginning. You really have to. I really have to look at the rider, and then you decide when you see him in the water how he moves, how he feels. The reactions are really important to see how they react, and then you see if they feel comfortable or not. So okay, maybe we should go a step back and have a bigger board. Yeah, it's really very, very hard to tell.
There's no general tip that you can give. You need to be there. You need to be a pro, and you, with your experience, of course, you can give super good tips. What about that first wake? Because at the end, this guy said, "I'm gonna pull you in the first wake." So I started from the back, and then he pulled me like a fisherman. He pulled me to the first wake, and I was super surprised because it is quite steep, and I was like getting there and like trying to make a little curve into the first wake, and then I just shot out of, because there was so much lift there, I didn't expect it. So I breached and I just slammed on the water.
Yeah, I saw that one.
I never laughed so hard.
I saw that one.
Super fun. Unfortunately, it was my last try, so I couldn't go again. But that's the ultimate goal, I guess. That first wake, that steep wake where you can like turn really hard, is that the thing that people want to do? Is that your favorite wake as well?
There are two things. One, or you drive or you ride in the first wake, which is steeper and has more energy and lift, much more lift, as you recognize. I think you were using also quite a big foil. It looked quite big to me.
Well, that was the Marlin M, I think. It was smaller than the one that I used before because I just wanted to try the new Barracuda L Plus, which has like 1200 square centimeters, pretty high.
Oh, okay.
Aspect. But I didn't use that for the first wake. For the first wake, it was a little smaller and lower aspect. It's thinner as well, so it should be faster, should turn more.
Yeah.
The board was bigger. But yeah, I couldn't like go again. It was like my only chance, like 15 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so, it could have gone smaller. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, so we use smaller wings for the first wake. And for second, third, and more, you can go bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. What I recognize is maybe you too, when you're in the first wake, you see the wake. It's left or right. Mm-hmm. You see it all the time. So you can choose, okay, ooh, I'm a bit close. Maybe I should do a turn outside and come back. And that's also how you adjust your speed. Because once you're in the wake, the energy is like really high and it gives you like more speed towards the boat. So how can you manage now? Usually on a surfboard, you just put more weight on your back foot and it breaks. And that works. But on a foil, if you put, yeah, you know what happens, yeah. You breach. Okay, so there is exactly that. You're getting too much speed towards the boat. So you do a turn and that, slows you down. Come back and you're at the exact same spot again. So turns helps a lot. Right. For the first wake, because there you see it. So with the beginners, I'm actually more on the first wake. It's easier to coach. You can talk to each other. And they're always between, let's say, 8-9 meters to 3-4 meters. And the good thing about the first wake is you always see it, as I said before. And if you go back on the second wave, the boat, the wake starts turning, like going more from behind. So you don't see it. You have to feel it. And that makes it so much more difficult. So if you want to have a beginner which smiles at the end of the session, go in the first wake first.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But not too close to the boat. Longer rope, because the wake is so long and you can really go far, sometimes even 10 meters and it still works. Because the wake does a little curve, we call it pocket, at the end. And if you're in that pocket, you have enough energy, enough push, no problem. And they feel more comfortable, the beginners, because they're not too close to the boat.
All right.
It's my advice.
For this advice, it's super cool. When I think back on that code demo day, once I left, I think you went out with Josh and Mark.
Yeah.
And you went with two boats, making a little, like a wake on both sides. That must be amazing too.
That was crazy. That's right. It's like riding in a bowl. If you know with a skateboard, like in a bowl, exactly the same feeling. Like you do a turn and then you go, maybe you go right. And then there's another wake, the same thing, same energy. Turn again, front side, back side all the time. Cool. That was crazy.
How did the middle? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, in the middle you have another wake, like the steep one. I don't know if you've seen it. If you put two boats together, there's a huge wake building up in the back. And that wake is sometimes if you have enough weight in the boat, it gets so high, like more than 1.5 meter high, and so steep you can even body surf in it.
Really?
It has so much energy. Wow. And that's the best.
So, but I guess that's not all the time that you can do it like that. Like people need to have time, you need to have two boats. But how was it with the Aussies? How was it with the code guys? Did they manage their first go? Was it their first wake foiling or did they do that already?
I think some of them did it, but not very often. And they were quite surprised how cool it is, because they usually wake thief. That's not the same. So you just pump in and then you take the first, the second, the third wave and you just play around. But if you're always in the same wave, it's different. The energy is so strong. And I remember Josh, he was like smiling all the time. That was so cool. And I mean, all of them, they managed Wow, really, really good. For some of them were the first time, it was really nice to see.
But you can really see that they know their foils, they know how to behave on a foil. That's super cool. Because as I said, you are a coat foils dealer with your shop Foil Ever. When did that start? How did that start?
Oh, that was a cool thing. We went for a dealer meeting to Thailand. We were invited by Axis, actually. And so we went there in Khao Lak, was it? So and there were all these distributors and all these dealers from everywhere. And we met all the guys, and then somehow some guys from had different gear, never heard, never seen, and that was the beginning actually of cold foil at that time. And that was what is it, 3 years ago now? So we saw the gear from far, and so okay, that looks cool. And but then the day after, we had this in the showroom. We saw all the gear. We could like really touch it and see how the fabric is and stuff. And then we met the guys, and they were super friendly. And we said, hey, we really have to get in touch with those guys. We have to talk to them. What's all about? What's about this new brand? And then they were. Yeah, we met, we had a dinner together, blah blah blah, you know. And then everything went so fast. We said, hey, we really have to go with this brand also. And everything started there. So we just met, and 2 days later we were co-dealers.
That is so cool. But when did it start with Foil Ever? How long ago did it
Forever,
start?
that's also three almost four, 4 years ago.
And was that like
Started.
a hobby of yours? Is that your main
Yeah.
job? How does that work?
Yeah, it was a hobby, and it's still a hobby of mine. Yeah, my main job is work in a skate shop since 35 years now, and skate snowboard shop. And that's my main job. But the rest, foiling is like a really hard thing.
All right, very nice. Maybe
Yeah,
you can just
my hobby.
plug your skate shop here.
Sorry?
You can just plug your skate shop here. Tell us the website,
Duda.
please. All
Yeah,
right.
Duohhaich.
We're gonna put it on
Duda.
screen or in the show notes below. So when you started with that Foil Ever, was that just something you want to get like in touch with Axis? Because you could buy it somewhere else, I guess. Why do you think that it was necessary even for you to start a shop like that?
I saw so much, like a lot of gear and a lot of like I would say wrong gear. People were using like the worst stuff to get on the board, and I couldn't see that anymore. I said, hey, someone has to help them. Someone had to do something. And there was no one around, and I was so interested in all the technique, how it works, and all the gear. I was always in this water sport universe, so I had all the contacts. I could test all the gear, all the brands, and that's how everything started. I was so interested, and I wanted to help the people. It was always my goal to bring people to this sport. And that's how it started. I couldn't see it anymore. And today it's the same thing. If I see people using wrong gear for pump foiling, I have to tell them. I can't stay there and watch them, and I don't
What are
know.
you doing?
Yeah,
But I
what are
imagine
you using?
when you start a business like that, you need a lot of time. That's one. You need a lot of money as well, because you need to buy these things. When did you say, all right, I'm gonna go all in with that? Was that a hard decision, or like, no, I know that's the future?
Yeah, actually I didn't go all in. It was kind of coming slowly, buying some of the foils, and then I said, okay, now it works, let's buy some more, and then the next year buy some more, and that's how it built up. And today it's kind of something in between. I sell three brands, and that makes it a bit easier for me. So one brand is more for pump foiling. The other brand is more in waves, and the last one does everything. So, yeah, I lost the question.
You know, just how we got started. Now you said you went just one step after the other, which is very very conservative, but very smart as
it
well.
Is.
You have Axis, you have Code, and which is the third brand?
The third brand is Enzis, typical right. Swiss brand. And it's a friend of mine, actually. I know him since at least 30 years. And I said, come on, that's Swissness. We have to do something with this brand and spread it to everyone. And it's quite cool stuff, actually. Really, really good. Yeah,
it really is. Now, when you have three different brands like that, they're not, well, you can pump with Enzis gear, you can also pump with Code gear and Axis. Are you like just trying to get like rid of the things you have? How hard is it to like tell the customer this is better than the other that I also have? Is that a problem sometimes?
Not really. I usually have test foils all the time. So if I don't know how the guy pumps or uses the foil, I just say, hey, come with me. Let's test those foils. And then we decide what's the best for you. It's so hard to tell. I mean, if you ask a guy how good, how long do you pump, what's your favorite thing, I think it's hard. So if you see the guys pumping, so much easier to get the right gear. So for me, I would say if it's possible to test it, and that's my goal, to really have these foils around and then give it out for testing, that's the easiest way to get the right gear for each one.
But sometimes I can imagine it's difficult as well, because if you give people gear to test, I mean, if I hand my gear to someone, it never comes back in better shape than it was. So you always...
That's impossible.
So how do you do that? You like repair yourself, or is just like, well, I'm just going to give you a little discount because someone used it already? How does that work?
I mean, that's true. It's if you're around, actually, then the gear looks quite good after the session. But if you give it and then you don't see it and it comes back 2 days later, usually it looks pretty bad. I do a lot by myself, like the small stuff. But then for if it's really damaged, like the carbon fiber comes out, like really, really bad, big things, then I give it to a friend of mine. He's a pro. He does also surfboard. He builds surfboards, actually, and he works actually really good with carbon now. And it's very close, and he can fix it quite fast.
All right, because I went on a session once with a former snowboard champion from the Bernese Oberland, not calling names. And I said, all right, but look, we started from a pier of passenger boats. I said, just don't hit the mast on that metal. And he started like five times, and on every start he bumped it like three times, and the back of my carbon mast looks terrible.
No.
I was like, and I was like, yeah, you should try, it's really cool. So now I actually got an aluminum mast just so I can give people to test. So
that's what I do. And I don't give the carbon mast again.
And now,
they're all damaged.
Now Code also has an aluminum mast, right?
It's coming. It's coming. It's not yet, and it's still kind of up here.
Okay,
but it's coming. It's coming.
What's talking about your gear specifically? The things you sell. What's hot at the moment? What do people want or want to try?
Two things. They want to try now. At the moment, there are two like lager. why do you say that? Like two
parties, maybe.
Yeah, two parties. The ones who wants to pump long, long, long distance, and the ones who wants to do like freestyle and riding into the waves and catching waves, wake thieving. So we have some guys, they really want to buy the big ones, like 150 plus to do this long, long distance stuff. That's cool. It's good for cardio and for me, a bit boring. It's also good to do it sometimes, but I couldn't do it like all the time. And then the other ones, they're using smaller foils behind the boat, maybe also for wing foiling, smaller gear. At the moment, I would say it's more into the wave thing because Code has like their gear is mainly for waves. It's super turny, tip to tip, super fast, ultra glide. And other brands, they're more in between and made for maybe long distance or a bit of carving, good glide. Right now is more for us, I would say it's 70% smaller and more carvy, turny for the waves. As I said, wing foiling, thieving also, behind the boat, or tow-in, prawn, smaller right now. 70-30, I would say.
All right. Have you had the chance to try that those X foils yet?
Yeah, actually, I was riding it this morning. The first one was a prototype when the Aussie guys were here from Code. We went out with that boat, like the two boats, and then we tried it. And I was really, really, wow, wow, wow. I said, hey, you have to bring this out. And then it took some months, as you know. And now it's here. And I tried it today, like the real one. And it's even better. It's like, it's so carvy. And so at the beginning, it's not a beginner foil, but it turns so well, like tip to tip. It's crazy. It's really, you should try it. I love it.
maybe next time I'm in Zug, we can try the boat thing again. And I would try it. I tried the 1250, I think, R, is it? Last Sunday, I had a session with Anya. I went subfoiling, like a little flat water clinic that I took with her. And I actually managed to get on foil kind of like twice, but actually just once. I just, these paddle things, do you sup downwind
or sup foil? I do, not downwind, but I do just for a workout. I paddle up flat water just to get used to it. It's super hard if you're not used to it, like for your shoulders, so bad at the beginning. But once you get used to it, you go start slow and then getting more and more and more into it. It's pretty cool. I don't do that much because I started using the power wing, and that makes it so much easier. And I can go upwind if I have a good section. I see good waves for 500 meters. I just go upwind and do it again and again and again. So for practicing, it's so much better and so much easier with the power wing. So my paddle is on the side right now.
You know, honestly, I just gave a paddle back to Mauro's from Indiana. He borrowed me one. he lent me one. I borrowed one and I just gave it back. He's like, all right, I'm also just using power wing. But now after that clinic with Anya, I think I might get back into paddling because I see there are some advantages to it. But let's talk power wing. Which power wing are you using? Because I've used quite a lot recently. And I'm always curious.
I saw it. I'm using the V2 from Enzis right now. And I didn't try any others, honestly. And I felt like from the beginning on, I felt quite comfortable and it worked straight away. So I said, okay, why changing or using others? I'm sure there are others maybe with like slightly advantage here and there. But I mean, like the whole thing, the whole package of this Enzis, Roger, I think it's quite a good pairing. It works for me.
I totally agree. It's a very good pairing. I can only use it with a harness. It pulls so much on the arms.
It has a lot of pull. I mean, I know what you mean. I
was out. Did you use a harness as well?
Yeah, I'm using also harness, yeah, but I'm good. I'm not good enough. I really try to get up, and as soon as I'm get up, I just start pumping and pull it in and stall it away. I don't like to ride too long. Like, okay. It's really, really hard work.
But you cannot really ride on Lake Zug, can you? Maybe with
you
fern?
Can, but the wind conditions are
right. Yeah, if there is fern, maybe you get some waves.
Yeah.
But that
from
happens,
south,
what,
then you
two,
get
three
waves
times a year.
Maximum. Yeah, maximum. So, now we really have to travel also to Neuchâtel or the Lake of Neuchâtel or Bielsee or Genfersee or also Wallensee.
Yeah.
Works also. But I think the best all in all is Neuburger.
Yeah, Lake Neuchâtel is really great. You know, the last downwind session I had with the Parawing was actually at Lake Sempach.
Oh, really?
It was crazy. We were there. I think it was Pfingsten. Not even sure what that is in English. But we had like maybe 25-ish knots, really a lot of wind that came from Surse. And there was a Michi Roham. And we just had a Parawing session. I still had the V1 Roger 3 meters, which is super hard to depower. But like getting up on foil was so easy. And actually surfing the waves on such a tiny lake, that was incredible. Really amazing.
But I didn't know they have so much swell, like wind swell.
With Michi, it looked really good. Mm-hmm. But with me, it was just like, same thing as behind the wake boat, like just cruising a little bit, no turning sharp. But if you go for a Parawing session, which foil are you using?
Right now I'm using or the 980 or the 850. Right. And that's square centimeters.
Yeah. And
right now,
what I really love about Code is their mast. It's so stiff. It's so
they're
good.
Super
the
stiff.
Mast is incredible.
Yeah. Especially the plus, like the high modulus.
Yeah.
It's really stiff, yeah. And it works well. It's not, I don't think it's the fastest one in the market, but it's so stiff and the performance is great. Really.
That is amazing. Listen, I have two more things I really want to address. One is, I got from Freddie and Liam from the Generic Falling podcast. They said, you need to have a feature, and they suggested me one, and that is the want of the week. Has there been something last week or maybe like in the week ahead that you really want for like all around? Well, actually, it doesn't even need to be water sports. Do you have a want of the week, something that you want right now?
Something I want right now. Yeah, I mean, I'm dreaming. I would say every second night I'm dreaming about waves, but in the ocean, and tow foiling or prone foiling. That's my goal. That's like, if I dream, that's my dream.
Have you done any of that?
Yeah, we went this year. We went to Bali for 2 weeks, every day, 1 to 2 sessions or 1 to 2 hours, towing and prone. And that was, I mean, the best I've ever done.
That is how is it different to wake foiling?
It's quite similar, actually, because the only thing is you, not prone foiling, especially tow in, the speed is so much higher. So behind the boat, we're riding around 19 kilometers per hour, and tow in top speed 53.
Wow.
So that's a big, big difference. So you can't use bigger foils. Like the biggest I had, and it was still too big, was the 850.
Okay.
And then I went down to 720, 615, and 500.
Wow.
That's crazy. Like the smaller, the better.
How is it to start with a small foil like that? Is that a problem, or you just, no, it's just the same thing. You just go faster.
Yeah, I think it's, with the 500, you just need a bit more speed, and then you get up. I think it's even easier to get on foil, not on foil, to get up with the smaller foil, because it has less lift.
Okay,
so you just stand on the board, you ride first on the board, and once you get the right speed, it just comes up by itself. I think it's even easier.
All right, that's
yeah, but that
also
those
scary, though.
Crazy memories.
Did anything like bad happen? Because it looks scary, man.
No, didn't touch, didn't hit the foil. Everything went smooth. The waves were, I would say, between 4 and 6 foot mainly, and sometimes we had bigger ones. I don't even want to know how big they were because they were behind me. Really. I mean, if I had eyes in my back on my back head, I wouldn't go again.
So just never look back then, huh?
Never look back. No, they were too big.
That is so cool.
The speed was crazy.
Nice. Anything you have planned ahead, like something similar?
No, wing foiling the next beginning of October for 2 weeks in Italy, Sardinia, and also a bit prone. There's a cool spot close to Porto Pollo, like 20 minutes. So I will take my prone foil for sure. The waves are nice, not too big, like super good for beginners. The water, it's a beach break, and it's quite deep. Oh, so nice. you don't hit rocks, you don't hit the sand. It's quite safe.
You have a camper.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
You have a camper van.
Yeah.
How many foils do you usually bring?
You want to know? Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. Now it's better because I just use cold foil right now. So I start with the 720, then let's say 720, 850, 980, 1130. Then I for sure I take the big one, like the 1725, the new one. That's came out already.
For pumping,
I would say around 6-7.
Okay, then probably three different fuses, some tails.
Yeah,
three boards maybe.
Yeah, three boards for sure. Like a mid length, the prone, and the pump foil.
Very nice. All right, awesome.
Yeah, everything about foiling.
That is so cool. Yeah. That's so cool. Because it's always difficult what you bring. You have to bring basically everything because you don't want to be somewhere beautiful. And you're just missing that perfect.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
The problem is I still have to bring like toys for my kids as well. So that's difficult.
Yeah. And yeah, we're quite lucky. We have a big camper with a big garage. It's almost a garage.
Nice.
Inside. So everything fits inside. You can put 50 foils and it's still okay.
All right. Well, that's kind of dangerous as well. Listen, I also want to talk about the flat water squat because you're listed as an ambassador of the flat water squat. Can you maybe tell me and our listeners, how did that start? What the purpose of the flat water squat is? And how you are involved in that?
I mean, I was there from the beginning on. It was a friend of mine, Mitch. He started that thing. Mostly for like to show some nice pictures, some nice videos from our sport, just to spread all the cool pics and experience. His main thing was he likes to do photos take some good pics and show it to all the people and then it became bigger and bigger, producing some t-shirts, some caps and so on. But the main thing is just to spread it, to spread our sport, to show what we do. And also to show different like spots in the world, all the thing we love to share it to the people. It's not more than that.
All right, but there's no shop online where people can buy merch or
no. It's not a shop. It's really only
it's just for play.
Cool pictures, cool videos, sharing a lot of also from other brands and. Just show the people what's going on. And he's quite into gear. He loves gear. And if he sees something new, he wants to spread it and show it to the world.
Do you use that channel for marketing purposes as well for your shop?
Not really. I mean, we do a lot of reposts, But no, not really for marketing.
How do you do marketing for Foilever?
That's a good question for my marketing chief, Sorin. We use Instagram, we use social media in general. We have the homepage, we have the shop. We do some, we have some gear, t-shirts, caps and stuff. But by side, yeah, and all these events we do, if we have a test ride, we stick together with our brands and organizing some cool pump events. And yeah, the next thing in November will be the Gondoli pump event. That's a fun thing. On the Lake of Zug, we have a friend of mine has bought some gondolas, like small gondolas.
All right.
Like six people in one, and he bought six of them. So 36 people fit in there, and they do they serve fondue inside.
Nice.
So the thing is we do and also close by there is a sauna like only a few meters away. So we first pump, then we jump in the sauna, and the next thing is the fondue.
Is that everything for people to join?
Yeah.
When is that going to be? Do you know the date?
No, not now. I have a few dates, but this is coming out in beginning of October. We will. We'll have them. You'll see it.
So for everyone listening who's interested in that, they should check out the Flat Water Squat on Instagram. Yeah. If they don't want to miss that, that sounds super cool. Like cold water and the sauna. Like that sounds just perfect. All right.
And the cheese fondue.
Very nice. That's also just buying six gondolas. All right. That's like fun, man. Andy, is there anything else you would like to talk about that you like to share with people all over the world?
I think we talked a lot, actually. No, I think just enjoy, go out as much as you can. If you want to learn pump foiling, go. Don't think too much. Just go and go as often you can, because you will learn it. It's only in your head.
All right.
If you want to, really want to learn it, you will learn it.
That is perfect. We can leave it at that. Thank you very much, Andy, for coming on the show.
No problem.
That was super
Thank
cool.
you.
For all the listeners, pleasure. The viewer, thank you very much for tuning in. Make sure to leave us 5 stars on Spotify, maybe some little info on Apple Podcast, like it and share it on YouTube. Thank you very much, and see you guys in the next one.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.